Oh boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
99.1 PLR.
Dumbass.
Okay.
Oh my God, it's the kids again. Get them out of here.
That's the thing. I can't stop doing your voice once I start doing Nancy Rizzuti's voice.
Oh my God, I was down here for 8 hours.
Yeah, my shoes fell off.
All right, so let's talk about this Uber driver. Uber driver threatened to call the cops after a couple asked her to turn on the radio. Oh, we have raw audio. Do we want to hear the raw audio, AJ, or the clip?
Let's go with the clip.
Go with the clip. Do you have the clip?
Yeah.
I just asked you to play music. That's about it. But you can keep driving. No, you're good.
Wait, then you're asking me why you're explaining. What can I do, sir?
You're going to call the cops?
Because I'm scared. My whole body is shaking the way you are, like, on the highway, and you're asking me to do something again and again and again. I'm the driver. Have to respect me. What if I'm going to get an accident?
We just thought it was going to be easy.
I sincerely apologize for the way that I behaved, and that's completely my fault.
What just happened?
I don't know what just happened. There was a lot of yelling.
Yeah.
Apparently, they want music played, and she wants to concentrate in the road, so she freaked out that they want music played, and then she laid into them.
I think when you pull your phone out and start recording them, that's you're antagonizing them.
That's not helpful, no.
It's not helpful.
No.
If you're in an Uber and the person seems a little unstable, the driver, get out.
Yeah.
Right.
And I heard they don't do, like, background checks and, you know, just to make sure they were never, like, you know.
Oh, really?
In prison. Yeah. I heard that the other day. I was like, really? So I can be an Uber driver?
Exactly. Nice.
You know, you look a lot like Charles Manson. How do you think I get my victims?
Right.
Hey, are you that lady from Long Island?
Right. I'm driving Uber in Connecticut now.
Get in the car.
My big time primetime special didn't really work out, so now I'm driving.
And I drive with my feet so you can look at my pretty toenails.
Exactly.
It makes you hungry for shellfish.
and corn chips.
Would you mind putting down the windows? Like, I can't breathe back here.
There's so much smoke in here. Okay, fine.
So he recorded the Uber driver's erratic reaction when he and his female companion, who I didn't hear at all. Did you hear her at all?
I was trying to figure out who was driving. Didn't make a lot of sense. And
oh, Uber Tim is on the phone. Uber Tim.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I had to make a comment. You know, I just heard, I don't know who the guest is with you, talking about the Uber drivers. Extensive background check.
Oh, really?
On us they do a criminal background check, a driving background check. They know they do every check you can do, not being part of the federal government. Sometimes it takes 2 to 3 weeks to even get approved.
How long have you been an Uber driver?
Since 2018.
Wow,
nice.
Do you do that full time, or you dip in and out?
No, I'm
part time.
I'm full time with that. Full time. Okay. I'm 66. I'm just waiting on my magic number.
Yeah, I got you. All right, it's a nice way to fill the time.
No.
Have you had some interesting people in your car?
Every day there's somebody that's interesting in this car, man.
Really? Can you give us like a top five interesting person since 2018?
I would say the top. I'm going to start with number one because that's the one that's most familiar. I had a construction crew get in my car with cut-up sheetrock, paint cans, and stuff. And I asked the guy, I said, listen, you got to put a tarp down in the back of my car, dude, because I can't be cleaning this car for 3 hours after I drop you off. And they were giving me a bunch of grief. And then as they were getting in the car, they were, like, dusting off their clothes, and it was a cloud. Then they get in my car. I was pissed off, and I says, you know, I'm gonna call Uber and have charge you guys to get this car cleaned. And then they started getting a little aggressive with me, and thank God I got a dash cam. And I pull over to the side. I threw them out of the car, and I filed a report with Uber.
Oh, that's kind of ballsy because they could have that could have went horribly wrong for you
with a spackle.
Saying YMCA.
Well, that could have.
Did they give you a rating? What was the rating?
Oh, I don't know. I canceled the ride, so I don't think they can rate you once you cancel the ride.
Oh, okay. That works.
It's hard to think of it. I had a lady I went to pick up at night sometime from a bar. She had one of those plastic open cups with beer she wanted to get in my car. I said, you can't get in my car with that beer. She says, why not? I'm paying for it. I said, what's going to happen if you spill the beer in my car? She said, well, you'll clean it up. I just pulled away.
She was drunk.
She couldn't cancel her ride. But there's all kind of, I mean, I had people in my car bragging how they rip off the grocery stores. They go in with backpacks, stuff, meats and stuff in their backpacks, run out. They get an Uber or whatever. So, you know, there's all kinds of weird stories like that, but if I was here for like 2 hours, I could give you a book of them.
All right. Well, you know what? Write some of them down, and then we'll have you on at some point.
I'll look into that. Okay. There's a lot of stories. Believe me. Let me tell you something. Ever since they made weed legal, my car smells like a dispensary, man.
Yeah. You can't go anywhere now.
I take high school kids to school smelling like weed.
The teachers.
It's the principal.
I picked up a guy a couple years ago. He came out. He put his whatever it was, a joint or a blunt, in his ear. And I said, try not to get that ash on my seat. And he said, hey, man, I'm going to my first job interview. I said, what? He said, I'm going to my first job interview. Wish me luck. I gave him a can of Glade, this deodorant spray I had in the car. I said, you better spray yourself with this before you go to that interview, bro.
Right.
Phil, I mean, can you save this clip? I want to play this for Anthony Avalon. This will make him happy.
It's crazy. And listen, you got to start hanging up on Joe DeBarber a little bit more, all right, because I'm missing that in the broadcast. Now you're really nice to the guy. What happened?
I'm just trying to be a kinder, gentler me.
Right.
Yeah, but not to Joe DeBarber, okay?
Okay.
I know he's listening. I know he's listening. He knows who I am.
Okay.
Hang up on Joe!
A visitor from deep space is racing through our solar system, and it's behaving so strangely that it's challenging everything we know about comets. And this Harvard professor on the show now believes that NASA's keeping something from us. It's Harvard professor Avi Loeb. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you sound exactly like a professor.
Yep. Just what I want to hear.
Not really.
So what is this thing? Is it really a comet? Is it something else?
Well, the fun of doing science is that we can figure out by collecting data. It's not a matter of opinion or a belief. And, you know, it will come closest to Earth on December 19th. And there will be hundreds of observatories around the globe that will watch it. It passed closest to the sun on October 29th, and just last week. And it became bluer than the sun when it passed near it, and also brightened up by a factor of five, much more than any known comet. Originally, when it was discovered on July 1st, 2025, it was already quite unusual because it's quite large. It's the size of a city, 5 kilometers in diameter, and a million times more massive than the first object we found a decade ago. So the question is, why is it so massive? Maybe it was sent by some intelligence. And actually, the trajectory of this object is aligned with the plane of the planets around the sun.
What do you mean sent by some intelligence?
It means that we might not be the smartest kid on the block.
I knew that.
You know, there are 100 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy when you look up at night. A significant fraction of them have a planet like the Earth, roughly at the same separation. So there are billions of houses like our own.
No, but what do you think that is? You said you think it could be sent from intelligence. What would that mean? It's a weapon fired our way or just space junk from them?
Not junk. It may be functional. We don't know.
You think it might be a spaceship?
It could be, because we launched five spacecraft out of the solar system, Voyager 1, Voyager 2, Pioneer 10, Pioneer 11, and New Horizons, and they're making their way out of the solar system. We did it only over the past 50 years. And most stars formed billions of years before the sun. There was plenty of time for any other civilization to develop much more advanced technologies than we possess and reach our backyard by now.
Huh.
So, you know, the fundamental question is whether, you know, if we see objects coming from the cosmic street to our backyard, whether all of them are rocks of the type that we are familiar with in our backyard, or maybe one of them is a tennis ball that was thrown by a neighbor.
You think, what is your gut telling you based on the information that you know?
Most likely it's natural, but there is a fair chance that it's so anomalous. It has 10 anomalies that I listed on medium.com, and you can find my essay.
Large is one, and then two, I heard there was like nickel coming off the back of it.
Yeah, nickel with very little iron. So the only other place where we find the nickel with very little iron is in industrial production of nickel alloys. No. There was also a glow extending like a jet ahead of the object towards the sun rather than opposite, away from the sun, the way comets usually behave. They have a cloud of dust and gas that is pushed away from the sun by the solar radiation and the solar wind. And in this case, it was an anti-tail that we noticed in July and August. And
an anti-tail.
Yeah, and this object, very close, when it got close to the sun last week, it actually changed course. It accelerated, and it's not clear what the reason was, but I calculated if it's a natural comet, then it should have lost at least a tenth of its mass, and there should be a very massive cloud of gas and dust around it, weighing more than 5 billion tons.
And comets don't generally accelerate, right?
Oh, no, they do if they lose mass. So they basically have ice on the surface that gets vaporized by sunlight. They are volatiles that sublimate. And as a result of that, the object itself, the nucleus, gets recoil in the opposite direction. So we do see comets evaporating and as a result being pushed away from the sun. There is no cometary tail that was noticed in recent days, and that's the surprise. So we have to check whether it was.
Why aren't there more people interested in this? Why isn't NASA talking about this more?
Well, there are many people interested in this. NASA is adopting the most a natural interpretation, the most likely interpretation, that it's a natural object. My point is that when you have a visitor to your backyard, you also must consider the possibility that it may show up in your front door. Or
right. Can we at least talk about this? Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, because there are implications to humanity if it happens to be technological that are major, and even a small likelihood event must be taken seriously. That's the way the intelligence agencies are dealing with, you know, the potential threat from a terrorist attack that has very small likelihood. They take it seriously. And so the same thing here, you know, we are going on a blind date with a visitor from interstellar space. We have to consider the possibility that it might be a serial killer.
Yeah. All right.
Oh. You got my.
I feel better now. You.
Does this feel like the beginning of one of those space invasion movies?
Yeah.
Like a radio show talks to a professor and he's like, hey, man.
Right.
It's coming.
Right.
We need Bruce Willis back.
And then, you know, 2 minutes later, we're like, yeah, and we're going in a box for 24 hours. Yeah. Right. And then cut to the shot of this thing going.
Right.
And people, you know, like there are aliens on it and they're like, okay, this is where we're going to hit these cities.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, my point is that nature is more imaginative than Hollywood script writers, and we're talking here not about science fiction, about science reality, and we better collect as much data as possible to figure it out. And it's something that we've never had the opportunity before to detect, because only over the past decade we developed telescopes that can find those interstellar objects. So we just don't know how much traffic there is of technological gadgets.
All right, Professor Avi Loeb, thank you. At least we know you're watching it.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
I will keep you posted. If
please.
We don't, I mean, the closest approach is December 19th, and that's 6 days before Christmas. We don't want any unwanted gifts for the holidays.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
Can't return it.
I was just going to say, we can't see this with the naked eye on the 19th, can we? It's
not
space.
Naked eye, but with an amateur astronomer telescope of several tens of centimeters. You should be able to see it.
Yes. And it's not going to hit us. It's not coming our way.
No. It's based on the forecast, it will come. The closest it will come is 250 million kilometers. So it's relatively far. However, there is always a possibility that it will maneuver or release some mini probes if it's technological. So we have to watch it.
Don't you think it's pretty wild that we've never been hit by a big one?
Oh, we have been. There were many.
I mean, recently.
But time is measured in billions of years in the universe, not years the way we are used to. So when you consider tens of millions of years, for example. There are many giant impacts that affected the Earth. I mean, the dinosaurs were killed by a rock the size of Manhattan Island. So we have to watch out. And, humans existed on Earth just for a few million years. You know, it's one part in a thousand of the history of Earth. So it's really, we are used to a time scale that is far shorter than typical time scales in the universe because, it takes a long time to traverse these large distances that are out there.
Wow. All right. Happy Friday.
Yeah.
Professor Avi Loeb, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have you on December if we're all still here.
Yes. For now, it's okay. You shouldn't lose any sleep. I will let you know if anything changes.
All right, you'll call us if you see something, and we should, you'll call us, tell us to run. Where did we run?
A week heads up, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Professor.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right.
So it could be a spaceship?
That's what he said.
Yeah.
You know what I'm picturing? Remember at the beginning of Spaceballs, dark helmets? I had the thing saying, we break for nobody.
Right. Maybe it's a giant Winnebago heading our way.
Yeah.
The size of Manhattan.
Yeah. Lone Star.
Nothing surprises me anymore.
Raspberry. Only one man would give me the raspberries.
What's funny is I do realize this is exactly what would happen in the movie. There'd be these radio people and we'd be like,
Right.
Then, what's that shadow?
What was that shadow? Until you get the anal probe.
Hey, how come the radio's not coming in well today? And then we'd get a couple calls like that. Like, hey, you're staticky in Derby.
Right.
It's like, atmospheric conditions. Yeah.
You know what'll happen? You hear me going, I got a raise.
Yeah. Commander Keith in the building. You were near the plane crash?
Yes, I was in Louisville when the plane went down, and it was crazy. I was staying at the airport, and I was supposed to fly out the next morning, and they shut down a five-mile radius because of the smoke. And in the restaurant I was in, the everybody's phones went off. So good note to everybody. If you have the emergency setting on your phone, it works. And it tells you, what happens. Mine is off. So come get me. If there's an earthquake, I'm getting eaten by the earth.
So you saw everyone else's phone go off.
Yeah, and I was like,
what's happening?
Right. This seems like a big deal. The whole city, I mean, a lot of people, it's a sad story. Like, a lot of people passed away. And so my travel nonsense is nothing compared to what really happened. But yeah, it was a big deal. I've never been that close to like an airplane crash.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Do they know what happened?
The engine fell off. They're saying the left engine fell off.
Huh. Yeah.
What?
And they had a full tank of fuel.
Yeah, because they were going to Hawaii. Right. I knew that.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
The engine, how does that happen?
I don't know.
Don't they check that?
You would think. Right. This is why I don't trust carnival rides.
Right. It's sort of the same.
But you think with airplanes, people are going to test that?
Right. You just put your hand under, it's connected. We're out of here.
Keith had a thought on what he saw everybody voting on for the box song. On Facebook.
There is no other thing better than this. If you go to the PLR Chaz and AJ Facebook page, you will see that the number one response is not a song. It is the Oily Stools commercial. We play this terrible commercial over and over again.
Every break.
Constantly. Yeah. So if you listen to this radio station, you have certainly heard this commercial, and it's about a lady with some sort of pancreatic problem that leads to oily stools.
I would not want her in my car.
And it's 30 seconds long, and their voices are terrible, and the content is hysterically bad, and it would be the best thing to play over and over in the box, because AJ got 2 3-minute songs. This would be a 30 second commercial that would play 7,000 times? Like, I don't know what the math is.
Great. Greenwich Village is a fun spot.
Can we stop at a bathroom? Are you all right? I keep having stomach issues after eating, like diarrhea, gas and bloating, abdominal pain, and sometimes oily stools.
Like, I have a question.
Stools.
This is gross, but I don't actually think I know what that is.
Oily stools?
Yeah, like, what is it?
I would it just
flies out, right?
So
that's what I think.
Yeah.
Diarrhea.
But sort of.
Yeah.
I don't want to Google it because I don't want to get targeted.
Yeah, I pictured you take a dump and it looks like an Exxon Valdez went down.
1989 oil spill reference.
Okay, yeah. History happens, pal.
I think you should put it on a loop and just put music behind it and play that with a beat.
Right. You should have Brian Blackmore make a remix. And that's what
the
plays.
Oily Stool remix.
Yeah. Oily Stool remix.
Are you all right? And keep having.
I'm trying
you had that
picture,
Perry song, too.
Trying to picture Channel 3 saying, let's go to Scott Haney in a box. Listening to an oily stool spot.
Well, there's that part. Right.
Can we stop at a bathroom?
It's just so funny, though. I forgot about the Channel 3 portion of the program.
Yes.
If he wasn't going, save this idea for the next time when he's not there. Because this would be great. But you're right. They're like, they're like, Scott, what's playing in the background? Right.
Commander Keith's top five.
All right, so the government is shut down. Everybody knows. I guess they're canceling like a million flights today. So all the major airports are pulling a number of flights, which is like bad news for anybody traveling like Thanksgiving or whatever. Everything is sideways, but I have solutions to save the government money and get the country running efficiently again.
Oh, let's write these down.
Right. These are good ones. Number five, we don't get mail anymore. I hate the mail. It's all terrible. And oftentimes, I accidentally leave it in my mailbox for weeks, and there's like holes in my mailbox, so it all gets soaked. It's a bad system. So mail ends.
The system's bad because you have a holy mailbox.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I could replace it, but then you got to take it doesn't matter.
You pull the mail out, it feels like oily stool.
Right, it does.
It slips right out of your hand.
So from now on, you will get emails of all your bills, and that's it. There is no regular mail. So sorry, Mom, you're not getting a Christmas card this year. Fine, I could drive it there. Like, do we need Christmas cards? You get packages the regular way. Like, Amazon would deliver you from their, like, fancy trucks. But no mail. Who's mad about that? No one. Old people. Old people are mad because it gives them something to do. But no young people check their mail anymore. It doesn't matter. Get rid of it. Saves a ton of money.
90% of the mail I get is just junk mail.
Right. And do you get your mail every day? Do you go out there every day?
We search it every day. We look in the box.
Me too.
Do you really?
Yeah.
AJ,
yeah.
Phil, no way Phil does.
It's like once every 3 days.
Right. That's like me. It's like once a week. I'm like, I should see what's in here. And it's nothing. So no more mail.
Yeah. I need my bills and my foreclosure notes.
All of AJ's mail is red.
Yeah.
Number four. Libraries all become online. We turn all the buildings into Olive Gardens, and all the books are just zapped to you on your phone or your computer or wherever. So it's one big database, and you type in whatever, YouTube biography, and it's there, and I press a button, and it zaps it to me, and then I can read it on whatever device I want, and there's no buildings anymore. So we have fired all the librarians.
Where do the homeless people go?
Yeah. Right. Well, they're out of luck. They don't get to read. That's how it goes. Okay. Or maybe you make them into homeless shelters. Great. So instead of Olive Gardens, they're just big homeless shelters and perfect. Everything's saved.
Okay.
But no more libraries. A waste of time and money.
It does seem like it is a waste of space.
Now, I went to one the other day because I was looking for a book, and it was great. Great time. And I said,
you were looking for a book.
Yeah, because I was flying. I need books to read on the plane. That's real. I do. I read books. It may seem like I do. Out of here. Number three.
Nobody believes it.
I swear to you. Number three.
What book?
It's called Carrie Soto is Back. It's about a tennis player that dominates. It's fictional, but she dominates in the 70s and 80s, and now it's 1995, and she's 37, and she's trying to come back and win. It's good.
So you're flying to a radio market. You're not looking up the radio market, studying.
No, I'm just reading books.
Learning the people's names.
Right.
Yeah, you're not looking at the plays.
Right. I just like to show up and be like, so what's going on here?
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, did you read the... Here's a good book you should read.
Number three, national parks become chaos. So no one is there to help, monitor, or save people. So you do too much peyote at the Joshua Tree, that's on you. Good luck getting out. It makes it more of an adventure, but we don't need all these people saving all these people in their parks.
Agreed.
You go out there and you want to be nuts, that's on you. If you get eaten by a coyote, that's your fault, not
and
mine.
And we leave the bones exactly where they're
where they are. Yeah. Right.
So okay. As a warning,
it's a warning
to the next people.
Pet the buffaloes.
Right. Number two, and I think you'll all agree on this one. We take a look at all the politicians' savings and retirement and their regular income, and then we decide how much they should get paid based on that formula. So if you're some billionaire that becomes a senator, you don't get a salary.
Oh, I love it.
But if you're like some, you know, blue collar guy that becomes the senator, you get a regular salary. Okay, we do it all based on what they have and what they make. I think it's the fairest way, and that way we spend the money more sanely.
Or we look at how many times they arrive for votes.
Oh, right. Did they get paid for attendance?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that, too. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Yay.
And the number one money saver for the government is no IRS. So that is shut down currently.
I like that.
It's time to get back to lying on these taxes. So, for example, every black shirt you wear, Chaz, it's a write-off.
It's a write-off.
Because it's part of your brand.
That's right.
So if the IRS, if they don't exist, there's no question. Those headphones, it's a write-off. So many write-offs for you.
You mean I can't write this off?
Right. You're not technically supposed to anymore. Yeah. But those are my five ways that we could save money for the government this week.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Commander Keith's Top 5.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.